Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see you this morning. This weekend, I don't know about you, but seen a lot of family this weekend. A lot of blood relatives. Not everybody's in the Lord's church, but good to be around family, especially good to be around this family, my family. Good to be with you this morning. Appreciate that prayer, Jerry, for Russ and Cindy. They need prayers, and we love them so much. The sacrifice that they give to be here, to be away from their children and grandchildren, we greatly appreciate it. Russ's heart is like no other for the Lord. We're truly blessed to have him here and to have him as a friend, because he's a friend to all. I'd like to talk to you this morning about God becoming a man. What's inspired me to talk about this morning is Tina had an idea. She has great ideas of having fun, but to watch The Chosen. I don't know if you're watching The Chosen or not. If you haven't, you need to. I've heard about it. You hear about it everywhere. Finally, you've got to download something on an app. If you can't do it, get your teenager to do it for you, grandchild or whatever. They'll get it, but it is well worth it. And I've fallen in love with that. And the greatest part about it is how they portray Jesus and him as a man. And I watched, it was season 1, episode 3. And Tom, I begged him, but he said he could do it. And we have just a little clip. And this is the clip. When I saw it, I was like, wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's the Jesus that we read about in the Bible. We see movies where Jesus is portrayed and, you know, he's walking on water the whole time. But it doesn't really give us a glimpse of his humanity, which is so vitally important. So I want to read you from Matthew chapter 1, verses 22-23. And it reads, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." I appreciate our brother Holloway, as I always do, for him being willing to come up here and read scripture. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." How did God become one of us? How did he do it? You know, it's like measuring his love. It's like we'll never know how God became one of us. But he can do anything. He can truly do anything. But to truly become one of us, how did he do it? We believe it. We believe, as Christians, that he is God and that he was man. But to comprehend that is going to be a struggle. It will always be a struggle. We need to be reminded of his humanity. And that's what I want to do today. I want to talk about that. The gospel that we preach depends upon it, that he was here, that he was a human, that he knows how we feel. He's been there. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 reads, "Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." He being found in appearance as a man. And we know to interpret Scripture, we use Scripture. So let me continue in Hebrews. "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil,
and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it was not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become merciful and faithful, high priest in service of God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. In every way, he was made like us, in every way. And that's what The Chosen has done for me. It's just shown it, brought his life a little bit clearer. I mean, the scriptures tell us, I'm reading them, in every way. But just to see that hit me very deeply. After, this is, John chapter 17, verse 1 through 5. This is Jesus praying. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you from before the world began. Now he speaks of the glory that he had, and that's what he released to come down here to save us. Glorify me in your presence, to bring him back into his presence. He left the presence for us. Now, if Tom, if you can play that little clip, it's a couple minutes, just to show the humanity of Christ and how it portrays him.
Might take, be patient. Patience, some of the fruits. Thank you, Tom.
Can I speak? Tom?
You're good.
We agreed about this. We had an agreement. We good? Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate that. Very simple. What got to me was him praying to the Father. And the alone time, you know, we hear Jesus in Scripture usually with people, but Jesus did spend time alone with the Father. It showed his dependency upon the Father, upon God. Do you ever have a conversation like that with the Father? I do. That's how, I guess I could relate to that. We cry out to him. Just talk to him. Spend time with him. We need to spend more time with him. But that's what Jesus did as well. And that goes to him being just as human as we were. It's very important. In Romans chapter 8, 29, it says, "For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to conform to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." He's the first. You think you're the oldest child, you want to be the leader. You want them to be the good example to set for the family. God sent his best, his firstborn, to teach us how to walk with God again, like in the garden. And he is the example. But he had to become one of us to show us. He had to come down here to show us how to do that. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." He is the example in the flesh, but for us it starts with baptism. I mean, that's where it begins. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is exactly what happens to us when we are baptized. And that's when it begins. We go into baptism and we get immersed in the water and we get washed. Jesus didn't have sins, but it was the Father's will that he was to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. But we're washed. We're cleansed. Not only are we cleansed, but we're filled with the Spirit. The same exact Spirit that Christ had. The power that he received came from God's Spirit that came upon him. The same Spirit comes upon us in the waters of baptism when we come out. God says, "You're my child, and I'm pleased." And we know that in heaven they rejoice when someone turns to Jesus. There's a big celebration. We talked about the prodigal son this morning. Thank you, Wes, for that great class. But we become his son and daughters. But then also we have this responsibility to put upon us, to emulate Christ. We're ministers of the gospel. The same gospel that Christ had, to save the lost, to show them the way, to bring truth. He came into the world to bring truth. That truth is in us. From the Scriptures, from God's Spirit speaking through us, all we have to do, open our mouths. We love, we want to share, just open your mouth. And we're ministers of the gospel. And we're led by the Holy Spirit. Everything that Jesus did, he was led by the Spirit. He was not only led into the wilderness, but everything that he did, he relied on the Spirit to lead him. When, where he went, in every way, he relied on the Spirit, just as God wants us to rely on the Spirit. But here's the thing. Our ministry, his ministry, as we just read, he asked God to bring him back into his presence, to the glory that he had once before. And our ministry ends in the same spot. We're going to heaven. We are going to be in the presence of God when we finish our work. He's given us all work to do. And that's where we're going to end up too. He is the first. He always goes before us. And he's leading us to the promised land, which is heaven. Out of this broken world. But we struggle with accepting this humanity. You know, he had all this great power. He did all these signs. We believe this. We believe he healed. We believe he raised Lazarus from the dead. We believe all of this. He's God. He's man. It makes no earthly sense. Yet we believe both. But it's going to be a struggle. But we believe, but still struggle how he did that or why he did that for broken sinners like us. But he did it. And why did he do it? It's because it's the only way that it could be done. The only way. Why would God come down here to his and become a part of his creation? But he did to save us. And we don't understand that love. We try and we struggle. Just keep on struggling. Don't quit struggling. You know, the apostles also had great power, though. I mean, you look at what they've done. In Acts chapter 20, it reads, seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. Just checking. When he was sound asleep, he fell on the ground. From the third floor and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed. He said, he's alive. Brought a man back from the dead. The apostles performed many miracles and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Just his shadow. Just his shadow. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. Incredible things were being done by the apostles. But listen to Peter. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? It was the Holy Spirit given to them. We can't allow the signs and the miracles deny the humanity of Christ. His sacrifice started before the cross. Ultimately, his sacrifice ended at the cross, but it started when he left the presence of the Father. Because when we get there, we're never going to want to leave. We surely won't want to come back here. The most powerful thing Jesus did was he emptied himself on the cross. out of all the miracles, they were signs and wonders, just as the prophets had. But what he did on the cross, no one did and no one could ever do. Only him. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed. This is God, our Savior, falling on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to them, the disciples, and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for a second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again went away and prayed a third time, saying the same words again. Could you do that? Could you do what Jesus did in 100% man, 100% God, and he let his body be sacrificed? You know, no greater love than that. Lay down your life. And he laid it down for the whole world. He took all the sins of the world because he loved us and he loved the Father. This is the thing. The Jews back then could not accept his deity. They could not accept that he was God. And they killed him for it. But we've got to be very careful not to deny his humanity. This is very important. We need to study. We need to acknowledge. If we deny his humanity, the gospel is useless. We need to struggle and to keep on struggling and just try to comprehend the love that he had for us, that he would leave the Father, come down here and suffer for us, for sinners like us. I can't comprehend that love. But we can try to love like he did. What do we need to give up? What sacrifice do we need to make? Do we appreciate what he did? He gave it all. We haven't given it all. But we're asked to give, whether it's forgiveness or any other type of sacrifice. You know, the Spirit leads us as well. It leads us where God wants us to go. It leads us to people that need to know this love that Jesus had, that he has for us, that he has for everybody. And do we let the Spirit lead us? And when he leads us where he wants us to go, do we sacrifice? So that's what I wanted to share. I think everybody ought to watch The Chosen. It's been really good for me. And I'm just in awe of our Savior and what he did. And I know we all want to be like him. But we can't do it without God's Spirit. There is no way that we can do it. And we do it to glorify him. If anybody needs prayers, if anybody's not a Christian that wants to become a Christian, we're going to sing a song. And if you want to come up, Wesley, you are the elder? And then there was one. We appreciate you, Wesley. Thank you so much. And you can text. It'll be on the slides, but I don't know if there'll be. Who are they going to text? I don't know. Wes. He'll be up here to receive you.